Today is the 14th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire as we throw open the threshold, put one foot out in front, and lean into a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. One of the 52 that we get every year as we take this revolution, this grand voyage, this journey of a lifetime through a year together in community and through the entire Bible. Everything. All of the books, all of the chapters, all of the verses. And every time we come to a brand new week, we try to look at it as a brand new start. Shiny and sparkly and new. It's a gift. It's being given to us moment by moment, day by day. And we're allowed to step into it step by step, thought by thought, choice by choice, action by action. And all of those things, those thoughts, those words, those deeds, those decisions, they all have consequences. Everything matters. And it will add up to the story of our lives in this brand new week. And so may we, like we always do, pay attention to that, understanding the incredible creative control and power that we have been bestowed with by our Creator, that allows us to make these choices and allows those choices to matter for good or for not good. What's the story you're gonna tell this week? I'm looking at myself. See my reflection in the window I'm looking out right now. What story am I going to tell this week? Just asking ourselves that simple question makes us self-aware, helps us understand that life isn't happening to us. We are happening to it. And it matters, because the impact of our lives can raise a banner of good high, a flag waving, where everyone around us is uplifted and everyone around us is affirmed. Or, you know, it can be a black flag. And we can destroy people around us with our choices and their consequences. And we can do it all in the space of a week. And so, we got a brand new week here. Let's choose wisely. A wise decision is to be here. That we just show up for each other. That we show up for ourselves as we take this journey. And so we've showed up. Here we are. It's good to see you. Nice to be cozy here around the global campfire. Good to be in a safe place where we can have thoughts like this and let the cares of this life go for a minute and integrate the scriptures into our thoughts and our words and our choices. So let's jump in. We are working our way into and through the book of Isaiah. We've got a brand new week. We will read from the Christian Standard Bible this week. Isaiah chapters 15 through 18. A pronouncement concerning Moab. In Moab is devastated, destroyed in a night. Kir in Moab is devastated, destroyed in a night. Dibon went up to its temple to weep at its high places. Moab wails on Nebo and at Medeba. Every head is shaved, every beard is chopped short. In its streets they wear sackcloth. On its rooftops and in its public squares, everyone wails, falling down and weeping. Heshbon and Elealeh cry out. Their voices are heard as far away as Jahaz. Therefore, the soldiers of Moab cry out, and they tremble. My heart cries out over Moab, whose fugitives flee as far as Zoar, to Iglath-Shelishiah. They go up the ascent of Luith, weeping. They raise a cry of destruction on the road to Horonaim. The waters of Nimrim are desolate. The grass is withered. The foliage is gone, and the vegetation has vanished. So they carry their wealth and belongings over the Wadi of the Willows, for their cry echoes throughout the territory of Moab. Their wailing reaches Eglaim. Their wailing reaches Bir Elim. The waters of Dibon are full of blood. But I will bring on Dibon even more than this. A lion for those who escape from Moab, and for the survivors in the land. Send lambs to the ruler of the land, from Selah in the desert, to the mountain of daughter Zion. Like a bird fleeing forced from the nest, the daughters of Moab will be at the fords of the Arnon. Give us counsel and make a decision. Shelter us at noonday with shade that is as dark as night. Hide the refugees. Do not betray the one who flees. Let my refugees stay with you. Be a refuge for Moab from the aggressor. When the oppressor has gone, destruction has ended and marauders have vanished from the land. A throne will be established in love, and one will sit on it faithfully in the tent of David, judging and pursuing what is right, quick to execute justice. We have heard of Moab's pride, how very proud he is. His haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, and his empty boasting. Therefore, let Moab wail. Let every one of them wail for Moab. You who are completely devastated, mourn for the raisin cakes of Kir Hareseth, for Heshbon's terraced vineyards and the grapevines of Sibmah have withered. The rulers of the nations have trampled its choice vines that reached as far as Jazer and spread to the desert. Their shoots spread out and reached the sea. So I join with Jazer to weep for the vines of Sibmah. I drench Heshbon and Elealeh with my tears. Triumphant shouts have fallen silent over your summer fruit and your harvest. Joy and rejoicing have been removed from the orchard. No one is singing or shouting for joy in the vineyards. No one tramples grapes in the wine presses. I have put an end to the shouting. Therefore I moan like the sound of a lyre for Moab, as does my innermost being for Kir Hareseth. When Moab appears and tires himself out on the high place and comes to his sanctuary to pray, it will do him no good. This is the message that the Lord previously announced about Moab. And now the Lord says, in 3 years, as a hired worker counts years, Moab's splendor will become an object of contempt. In spite of a very large population, and those who are left will be few and weak. A pronouncement concerning Damascus. Look, Damascus is no longer a city. It has become a ruined heap. The cities of Arior are abandoned. They will be places for flocks. They will lie down without fear. The fortress disappears from Ephraim and a kingdom from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the splendor of the Israelites. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. On that day, the splendor of Jacob will fade, and his healthy body will become emaciated. It will be as if a reaper had gathered standing grain, his arm harvesting the heads of grain, and as if one had gleaned heads of grain in Rephaim Valley. Only gleanings will be left in Israel, as if an olive tree had been beaten. Two or three olives at the very top of the tree, four or five on its fruitful branches. This is the declaration of the Lord, the God of Israel. On that day, people will look to their Maker and will turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars they made with their hands or to the Asherahs and shrines they made with their fingers. On that day, their strong cities will be like the abandoned woods and mountaintops that were abandoned because of the Israelites. There will be desolation, for you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and you have failed to remember the rock of your strength. Therefore, you will plant beautiful plants and set out cuttings from exotic vines. On the day that you plant, you will help them to grow, and in the morning, you will help your seed to sprout. But the harvest will vanish on the day of disease and incurable pain. Ah, the roar of many peoples. They roar like the roaring of the seas. The raging of the nations. They rage like the rumble of rushing water. The nations rage like the rumble of a huge torrent. He rebukes them and they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills and like tumbleweeds before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before morning, it is gone. This is the fate of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who ravage us. Woe to the land of buzzing insect wings, beyond the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by sea, in reed vessels over the water. Go, swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth-skinned, to a people feared far and near, a powerful nation with a strange language, whose land is divided by rivers. All you inhabitants of the world and you who live on the earth, when a banner is raised on the mountains, look. When a ram's horn sounds, listen. For the Lord said to me, I will quietly look out from my place, like shimmering heat in sunshine, like a rain cloud in harvest heat. For before the harvest, when the blossoming is over, and the blossom becomes a ripening grape, he will cut off the shoots with a pruning knife, and tear away and remove the branches. They will all be left for the birds of prey on the hills and for the wild animals of the land. The birds of prey will spend the summer feeding on them, and all the wild animals, the winter. At that time, a gift will be brought to the Lord of armies from a people tall and smooth-skinned, a people feared far and near, a powerful nation with a strange language, whose land is divided by rivers, to Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord of armies. Okay, so yesterday we finished Paul's letters, the two letters that we have to the Corinthians. And so we're still in the Pauline epistles, right? Paul's letters. but we're moving into a different area, a different group of people, different churches. And so today we will begin Paul's letter to the Galatians. And we might think, like, certainly this is the church in Galatia, the city of Galatia. That would not be the case. In Paul's time, Galatia wasn't a city, it was a province of the Roman Empire. So an entire area of the Roman Empire. That area is now contained within the modern country of Turkey. In previous eras, going back in history, the Galatians were known as Gauls or Celts. And so that can kind of give us some context. And of course, Celtic people did a lot of migrating into places that are now like modern Ireland. So we know of five different churches in this province of Galatia that were established during Paul's first missionary journey. And those were the churches in Pisidia, in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, and in Derbe. And so Paul's writing this letter and he addresses it to the churches in Galatia. Then we, there could have been other congregations that has simply lost to history that we just don't have in the New Testament. But we can safely assume that Paul wrote this letter to those communities that were established. And we'll see as we jump into this why it's been preserved and why it matters significantly in our New Testament theology. But we'll see that there are similar issues that Paul deals with in the time that he lives throughout many of the different churches, no matter how far spread apart they are. So he's dealing with some of the same issues that he was dealing with in 2 Corinthians. These issues were also in Galatia. People had visited the churches in the province of Galatia, coming in behind Paul, and they were teaching variances or nuanced teachings that Paul considered over the line and beyond what was tolerable in his mind, so much so that he considered what they were teaching to be another gospel. And more specifically, the Galatians were being told that they needed to become basically Hebrew. They needed to convert to Judaism and convert to Jewish customs and practices in order to follow Jesus. And that included all kinds of rituals like male circumcision and the adherence and obedience to the Mosaic law. Something that Paul, obviously, we've read a few of his letters, we understand that Paul has a very different view of the Mosaic law and its purpose. And so Paul stands against this. In his view, Jesus was the fulfillment of that law, and it was accomplished, and a new covenant had been offered and initiated through Jesus. And so the old one didn't pass away, but was replaced with a new one. And so Paul is using this letter, as we'll see, to dispel the inaccuracies that he finds being brought into the churches that he's planted. We aren't like sure when exactly Galatians is written, whether it is before or after the Jerusalem Council, the first church council that we hear about in the book of Acts. So there are some that find this letter to the Galatians had to be before the Jerusalem Council, because so many things were decided there. And so if that's the case, then these visitors that were coming into the Galatian churches were undermining Paul's message in an attempt to align those churches with what was commonly accepted in the Jerusalem church before they had wrestled with any of the issues. Now, Paul wasn't happy about it. If that's the case, then Galatians is really one of the very earliest Christian writings. It's widely accepted that 1 Thessalonians is the very first preserved authentic letter of the Apostle Paul. But if this scenario that I'm discussing, like that this letter was written before the Jerusalem Council, is true, then Galatians is certainly one of the first letters to any church. If Galatians came after the Jerusalem Council, then Paul is writing a letter to reiterate what the council had decided. Because not everybody was on the same page about Jews and Gentiles, clean and unclean, obeying and not obeying the law, converting to Judaism, basically, and understanding the meaning of the work of Christ. And so, even though things were decided by council, not everybody was on the same page, and there were factions. And so this would be Paul coming against some of that. And it would seem maybe logically that if this were the case, Paul would have quoted or used some of the document from the Jerusalem Council to support the argument of what he's saying. But this is the kind of stuff that gets debated among biblical scholars and has been for hundreds of years. The argument that Paul's laying out in Galatians and the issues that prompted him to write this were weighty among this fledgling new faith community for lots of reasons. Judaism was a very exclusive religion for Jewish people. And allowing faith in Jesus without the cover of Judaism, right? Because originally the first believers were Jewish and they were never intending to leave Judaism. They were following a Hebrew rabbi that they believed to be the Messiah and the fulfillment for the Jewish people, the anointed one. So they weren't like looking at how to begin a new world religion. So the original believers were part of, like, they were just considered a Jewish sect. But after this council, the distinctions were very, very much made because salvation was thought to be open through Jesus to anyone who believed in the entire world, Jew or Gentile, no matter who they were. And once that decision was made at the Jerusalem Council, It made this distinction from like it split them in two. So there's Judaism and then there's what becomes Christianity. And that ultimately brought persecution to those who followed Jesus. The persecution came from the Jews and the Romans. They were being persecuted on all sides. So this letter to the Galatians contains foundational New Testament theology, where we learn of the gospel of freedom, of grace, and justification through faith. These are all outlined in this letter, and these are core truths for those who follow this way, the way of the teachings of the New Testament, as we try to follow the way of Jesus. And so with that, we begin Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but that there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days, but I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. Psalm 58. A cry against injustice. For the choir director, do not destroy. A miktam of David. Do you really speak righteously, you mighty ones? Do you judge people fairly? No, you practice injustice in your hearts. With your hands you weigh out violence in the land. The wicked go astray from the womb. Liars wander about from birth. They have venom like the venom of a snake, like the deaf cobra that stops up its ears, that does not listen to the sound of the charmers who skillfully weave spells. God, knock the teeth out of their mouths. Lord, tear out the young lion's fangs. May they vanish like water that flows by. May they aim their blunted arrows like a slug that moves along in slime, like a woman's miscarried child. May they not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether green or burning, he will sweep them away. The righteous one will rejoice when he sees the retribution. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Then people will say, yes, there is a reward for the righteous. There is a God who judges on earth. Proverbs 23:12. Apply yourself to discipline and listen to words of knowledge. Father, we thank you for your word. And here we are, grateful for a brand new shiny week, brand new start, brand new chance to improve and continue growing and moving forward in maturity. We are grateful for your faithfulness to us. And now, as we move into another letter, spend time in Galatians, we open ourselves. Help us to put ourselves in the position of those who heard this letter. Help us to apply what we're hearing into our own contexts through that context. And help us to see. Help us to grow. Help our faith to increase. And help us to honor you by being true and faithful. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Dabbers. I'm calling today to bring my friend Millie up for prayer. I'm asking for prayer for her. This is her third time at the battle of cancer, and this time it has spread, and she fractured her spine. Just by sitting up, she has an incredible willpower and faith in our Father, our God, Yeshua, and Ruach HaKodesh, our Holy Spirit. She's in the hospital again, and she's feeling confused, but she still feels very powerful that God is with her, and it's His way, His time. And she's just an incredible human being. I've been friends with her for over 38 years, and it's just shocking to see my beautiful, joyful, happy friend, mother of five. She's had her share of sorrows. Her son was murdered 20 years ago at the age of 18, and she has four young adult children and two grandchildren. And oh, Father, oh, Dabbers, please, you knee benders. Thank you for everyone that will pray for my friend Millie. I really love her. Thank you for the friendship that I have with her, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be friends.
On September the 10th, 2025, Brian, your message was for me. I bet it was for 1,000 other people as well, but it was for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for Brian Harden. Oh, it was so good. I'm going to listen to it again and again. If anyone needs the fortitude and the encouragement, if you're walking through a deep, dark trial, read the whole scriptures again and then listen to Brian's commentary. Holy Spirit, help us all to endure the way you want us to grow in you. Yeah, it doesn't feel really great to walk through it, but when we come out on the other side, like pure gold, when we come out victorious, when we come out praising you, Lord, oh, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. I see it on the horizon, Father. I trust you. I love you. I adore you. Oh, God, I know there's a lot of people on this platform that do the same. They are rejoicing and thanking you in advance for everything you're doing on our behalf. Oh, God, thank you for the pain. Thank you that there's solace in the pain, that there's redemption, because you are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless y'all, Daily Audio Bible. I love you. Taken with love from Louisiana.
Hi, I am calling because my anxiety has overwhelmed me, and just feel like I'm in the deep, dark depths. Hard to get through to the next minute, and you know, certainly have kind of been here before, but having a hard time seeing my way out. I know that God is the answer, but it's hard to feel that and just, you know, go day by day. So I have prayed for other people on this line, and hopefully others will pray for me. Thank you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Maranatha Matz calling in again. I called in a couple weeks ago with a prayer request for my unborn son. I just wanted to give a little update on that. His name is Caleb. We saw a specialist today and had another ultrasound done, and got some pretty bad news. That ultrasound confirmed that there are several significant defects to his brain, his heart, his spinal cord. There's also a cyst on his umbilical cord that is restricting blood flow. And so the doctor feels like that he will not survive, and that he will likely pass in the womb, probably within the next 6 weeks. So if y'all could just continue to pray for him. Again, his name is Caleb. Just pray for my wife and I as well for peace, and that that God would work through this pregnancy in some way for his glory, and that Christ would be magnified. Thank you, everyone who's been praying. Truly appreciate that. Thank you all, and Maranatha.
Hi, family. This is Rilla from Sydney, Australia. I just wanted to call and to thank Brian for his words of encouragement today, following the reading on the 11th of September. Today, the tragic news of the passing of Charlie Kirk has really, I think, impacted. I know it's impacted me personally a lot, but I know that it would impact people across the world. And I appreciate Brian's comments today, where he didn't directly mention it, but his prayer was on point about casting our burdens with God, and the readings were just perfect. So I'm just so thankful for the community, because I did spend all morning looking at social media and trying to follow the news and follow what's happened, but it is burdensome. It really is. And I chose to put it all down and listen to the Daily Audio Bible, and I'm so thankful that I did, because everything, every single thing that was said today in the Daily Audio Bible reading was absolutely on point and perfect. We are to cast our cares, give our burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of us, and he will not permit the godly to slip or fall. In times like these, you just wonder, and your brain just, you can't help but wondering, like, you know, Charlie Kirk was a godly man, and he has slipped and he has fallen, but we know that he is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, resting. We just pray for this world and we pray for his family, and it is a heavy burden today. So I just pray for everybody in the mighty name of Jesus.
Shalom, shalom. It is September 11th and I'm calling in with a heavy heart. And I'm just asking that we pray together in remembrance of those lives that were lost tragically on September 11th, 2001. As we pray for our country and also ask for prayer and comfort, the tragic loss of an iconic figure, Charlie Kirk, beloved by many, who is now with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have such a heavy heart over this tragedy. And we just ask the Lord to heal, bring comfort, his grace and mercy. Forgive us for our sins, Father God. It's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray humbly and we seal it with the blood of the Lamb. Amen.